may be seated. Can I borrow this? Okay, thank you. Well, good morning. My name is Brian Hannes. I'm a connecting pastor, and it's going to be a great morning this morning. We are starting a new series called Experiencing God, and we thought as we kick this series off, we're going to do a couple things different. One is, if you've ever heard of the book called Experiencing God by Henry Blackaby, we're actually going to be selling those at the Connection Center. And over these next 8 weeks, we'd love for you to buy one of those books. Now, we're not going to be preaching exactly word for word in the book, but the book is amazing. If you've never read it, I'm telling you, just get it. Don't even just get it. Okay, it's at the thing. You can do it on Amazon as well if you want a digital version. But just to start off, underneath of your seats, there's two people that say you win. We're going to give a free book out. So look under your seat. We'll give away two free books to start off. Any winners? Anyone? Nobody wants to win a free book. Hey, there's one right there. Karen, you want to give her one? There should be one more. No? All right, if you have a you win somewhere or you see an empty chair and you want one, don't fight over it or anything. It's like that baseball that comes in this, you know, at the bleachers, everybody's fighting over it. Yeah. if you did, go to the Connection Center and get your free book. But as we start this morning, we just got back from Costa Rica. And it was an amazing trip. So I'm hoping to convey some of what God did as we experienced him there. Though I think it sort of illustrates what we're meaning by this whole series. In other words, I can tell you about Costa Rica, but you got to experience it. You got to experience what God did there because he did some amazing things. And we're going to share about that. But more than that, we hope you hear what Jesus is doing in the world. Because it'll thrill your heart. Like, it'll thrill your heart this morning. That's my prayer, okay? So what we did was we went down to Costa Rica, and in the morning we did sports camps, basketball, baseball, soccer, skateboarding, and then we ate lunch together with the people, and then we went to a neighborhood, specific neighborhood. The strategy that we use is to go to a different neighborhood each year, and we went door to door delivering Bibles, praying with people, sharing the gospel. And then we also did a VBS in that neighborhood for the children. And that was the afternoon. And in the evenings, we would worship and pray. And then we had a big worship service at the end of the week. But it was an incredible week. So if you're going to share, I want some people to come up and tell some stories. Willie, come on up. Katie, where's Jessica? Good. These are some of my friends. These are going to be some of the pictures that you're going to see. And grab that mic right there, Willie. And we're just going to start telling stories because it's good. Are y'all ready? I mean, seriously, you're going to think we're making some of these stories up, but like Jesus was going, he was everywhere. Okay. The Holy Spirit was working everywhere we went, and it was just a thrill to get to be a part. So I'm going to let Willie start off with sharing just a few minutes about his story.
I was hoping we'd have a little time to, you know, maybe show the video of
It's coming.
Goofiness.
Yeah, it's coming. We've got a good video for you here in a minute.
But no, Tom, I've never actually been up here and spoke. If I would have known all I had to do was go on a mission trip to get up here and talk, then I would have gone a long time ago. From the time that I first came to Crossbridge, within a couple of weeks, they shared the mission of this church and our mission work that we do. And immediately Costa Rica, as I'm sitting there lighting up, my wife, you know, hits me on the elbow, like, oh, that's you, you know, from kids to basketball, everything about it just screams something I'd like to be a part of. And fast forward, from that moment, God already kind of planted that seed. And then from the time that Brian actually texted me and said, hey, you know what, I want you to think about this. I know there's a lot of logistics. I've got three boys. I'm not a millionaire. I don't have time to just put life on pause and stuff. But from that moment, I just stepped out in faith. And it was incredible what God did. Money, everything. You know, my mom coming down to help with our three boys, 3-year-old twins and a 4-year-old. And, you know, guys, the trip, I'm not here to sell the trip. You know, if I was, I'd have a line and all y'all's credit cards just waiting. I'm not here to sell the trip. I'm not here to tell you to go on a mission trip. He wanted me to share something of what God did. And thinking about it, There's 100 things I could tell you, you know. And so many of them would glorify God, but some of them would glorify, you know, I feel like in some sick way I would try to end up glorifying myself. And so I was thinking about all these things, and finally once I, you know, knocked some of the idiot off, and I actually asked God, you know, what do you want me to share? I was showering, and it just hit me. And it's funny because it's one thing that I almost completely forgot that it happened, you know. It was such a powerful, humbling moment, but I almost completely forgot about it because I, you know, I was thinking about jumping off cliffs and sharing my testimony on Costa Rican national television and walking a lady down the aisle who she got married and she said, Willie, you know, Brian said she wanted me to walk her down the aisle. All these crazy things that you might not even, you know, if you want to talk about them, I'd be happy to talk to you about what happened, but none of those things are what I want to share about. It was actually the one moment throughout the trip where I forgot why I was there. You know what I mean? I forgot that I was in Liberia, Costa Rica on a mission trip trying to share the gospel and share the love of Jesus Christ. We're doing a basketball camp, and we're with the older guys, and they're really good. So I'm fired up, right? You know, I'm really trying to get these guys going. And all of a sudden, you know, it's like, let's go. You know, they're not listening, and they're not focused, not doing what I'm asking, what I'm coaching. And in that moment, you know, I actually believed that I was there to try to become a better basketball coach or to try to teach these kids how to become better basketball players. And, I mean, it was just, it felt like a job for a second. You know, I don't know if it was 5 minutes or 10 minutes or 30 minutes, but all of a sudden, you know, you just get that, you know, you get that feeling when you're at work, nothing's going your way. Nobody's, you know, nobody's responded to your emails or whatever it is. That's how I felt. I felt like I was just trying and I was suffering. And I'm just about to start a new group and go, and all of a sudden, you know, coach blows a whistle, and we go and we have this devotional. And this young man shares a little, he's from a local San Antonio church. He shares a little bit of his testimony, a little devotion, and then coach finishes it up. This is coach. It's a basketball thing. Let's call him coach from now on, see if he likes it. And he shares about how when he used to come home from work every day, and he's got his three girls, and he would just stretch his arms out like this and say, "How much does daddy love you?" And they, "This much." You know, I can't do it. I got the microphone. I need one of those. And then he shared about how that's how much Jesus loves us, you know, this much, that he would die on the cross for us. And I'm sitting here with all these guys, and, you know, I don't know if they're listening. You know, that's up to God. But I was listening. And from going from just feeling like I'm trying to be the best basketball coach or help these guys learn how to play help defense, which is completely irrelevant to eternity, it just hit me, and I was like, this is why I'm here. You know, I'm never going to be the greatest basketball coach. I'm never going to teach every little kid how to play ball, you know. But if I focus on trying to love people this much, because I know in my heart that Jesus Christ loves me this much and he loved me that much, that he would die for me, It all gets a lot easier.
Yeah.
You know, it don't matter if people aren't listening. You walk over to them, you know, you can, and I did that. You know, I did that. After the break, I focused on that. And I got really emotional. And after that, I just had a little more fun, you know. All the little stuff that I thought was so important. And it was so humbling because I actually forgot. For the first time, I'd like to believe, the first time while I was on that trip, I forgot why I was there. I thought I was actually there for me or to better my kingdom. You know what I mean? So, like I said, it was the most incredible trip. And there's so many awesome things that God did and lives that were changed. But that was the moment that affected me the most. And I felt like that's what God wanted me to share. So thanks for listening.
Awesome. Thanks, Willie. Hey, before I let him go, so this trip was transformational with Willie. We're in life group together, and he was sharing with me, like, loves to dance, he loves basketball, and he loves working with young men. And now he got to do all of those, but for Jesus. And I think that's what he was saying there. But he exudes a joy that's contagious, because I'm not kidding. We had a little fruit smoothie place we would visit in the square, and we went by later in the week one day, and I don't speak Spanish, but I'm doing my best to converse with this lady, and she's somehow, I get that she's asking me where I'm from, and I said, San Antonio, and she goes, "Oh, Willie." And then she's asking if she can get a photo with Willie. And I'm like, what? But also, I think we have this video. Can we show that? This is New Year's Eve when we got there. They were having this huge celebration on the square. And here's the joy I'm talking about. Can we play that video? Yeah. So Willie got up on stage in front of, like, I don't know, hundreds and thousands of people here. And that's the Costa Rican Willie on the right. And they're going at it. Look at him. Yeah. 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 This is great. Now, I don't know if you can understand what was happening. So he's dancing, and a couple people are clapping. Next thing you know, we know he's on stage dancing, and there are just all these people, New Year's Eve celebrating. And, okay, but here's the God part, because this is what we want you to get. Even in that guy on the right, he goes, what is up with this? There's some kind of happiness in this guy. And, or he's something else, you know. But anyway, so he shared why we were here. The guy goes, oh, I want to be a part of that mission to help people and bless people. I want to be a part of that. And he said, well, yes, for Jesus. And he said, well, then there's a disciple movement that's going on here. And he goes, I want to do that too. So one silly dancing turns into this man now wanting to be a part of the kingdom work that's going on in Liberia. How cool is that? Yeah. So thanks, Willie. Thank you. Love you, buddy.
Love you.
Katie, come on out. This is my daughter, Katie Hannes, who also got to be on the trip, and it was a joy for us to get together to be on the trip.
Yeah, I've had a really hard time processing Costa Rica after, since I've been back. I actually took Monday off when we got back because I was like, God, you've done so much, and I need to process what you're speaking to me, what you did just with me this whole week. And so even, I don't know, I'm just thinking back, there's so many stories just like Willie shared. I mean, so many times we laughed and we played with these kids and just loved them and just got to play basketball. And there were times that I was like, this could not be more fun. Like, I'm having the time of my life. I'm quitting my job and I'm moving to Costa Rica and I'm playing basketball for the rest of my life. But it was such a joy. But I felt, I guess about the second day, I really just felt the Lord telling me that my yes to this trip is going to change the course of my life. And that was kind of big. I was like, okay, what does that mean? Not necessarily like, okay, you're going to be a missionary for the rest of your life, but that my life is now going to be on mission in a different way than it was before. And I really do believe that. I really feel like he is going to use that trip. I was sharing with my life group, and I was like, I probably talked for like 10 minutes. I just kept going. So I'll try to condense it. But I was just trying to convey, it didn't feel like an experience. It really felt like that was my life, and that's how it was going to continue in that pattern. But as I guess my takeaway, as I got home, I was like, Lord, why was this trip so impactful for me? I know it was the first trip that I went on, like, as an adult, and so I wasn't with my family, and I wasn't my dad, but, like, it was different. It really was for me, and the more I was spending time with him, he just reminded me how good it feels to be included, and a lot of times, we all know what that feels like to be excluded when you don't feel included, and I was having a lot of those emotions before we left for the trip of just feeling like, I don't feel like I fit in. Like, I feel like misunderstood, but I really didn't feel included, just with people, but also like with what God was doing. I kind of was at the point of like, I don't feel like you need me. Like, I'm not, he doesn't need me, but I wasn't feel like I was being used by him. And so as I just was processing the trip, I got home and like this sense of, I've never felt such a sense of joy and such a sense of like being so deeply loved. And I have grown up with amazing parents who have loved me like crazy. And like, I know what love is. And I know what love is from the Father. But this was a different like deep love. Like the first time I was just completely at peace and just so much more full of joy than I've ever been before. And I was processing that, and it was because I felt so included in what God was doing. I mean, at every single corner, every time we turned, I felt like he was using me and he was including me in what he was doing. And it feels so good to be included. Yeah. But that sense of like, I really don't even know how to explain it other than it was just like this deep love. Like, I felt it, like, and it overflowed. Like, I really haven't been at such a place of peace. Like, I'm not worried about my future. I don't know what it's going to hold. But there were fears and there were concerns before I left of what my future is going to look like. But now I'm like, God, you're going to change my future. And I'm going to put it in your hands. And if I do that, I know you're trustworthy for that. And that was just a big revelation for me. And yeah, just being included by God. And it really is one of those things you have to experience. I mean, I can tell you how amazing it was. And even coming back and going back to work, I was like, okay, God, can you include me today? But I work at a public school. And so it's very different for me to be included by God. It's not as direct as it was in Costa Rica. I couldn't walk up to people and say, hey, do you know Jesus? Can I tell you about him? So yeah, I just think that this trip was revelational for me. But just that prayer of, God, will you include me? And I know Kirk talks about that all the time, but it really is. It was a deeper meaning for me from this trip, that when you feel included and when you know that you are deeply loved, it really changes your mindset and your heart and the way you look at people and the way you see yourself and the way you see your future. So, yeah, sweet. I will be going back next year.
Thanks, Katie. I'll let Jessica have a mic. So this is Jessica. Jessica Cristancho is our trip champion, and she is the national interpreter of Costa Rica. We teased. There's one of these pictures up here. This is another story. Somehow we got on Costa Rican TV. Don't even. That's another story. But Jessica's got the headset on and she's interpreting. I mean, literally, we showed up at this TV station and we thought they're going to tape something, you know, and the guy starts. Next thing I know, Jessica's interpreting. She goes, nope, this is live TV. And I'm like, what? And then of course, they're talking some more. And then he's talking and he's holding a phone. And I'm like, what? And then Jessica goes, they're fixing to go to callers. So anyway, so Jessica interpreted for us all week. And I told her this, but the experience I know is, I can't imagine, but how deep it is, because she's interpreting Father's heart and love in words, English to Spanish, and it just, whatever happened there was just really supernatural, because every time she translated, somebody was coming to Jesus. Okay, so anyway, share with us, Jessica, a little bit about what your experience was.
Well, I was hoping he was just going to let me translate whatever he said. And that would have probably been easier than me coming up with something of my own. However, I will say this is my third year, and something that was extra special to see that sometimes you don't get to see when you go on a mission trip is the fruit from the seed. And that is something as small as, you know, basketball skills to the actual kid growing spiritually or furthering themselves just with their own maturity level. I've really been blessed to be able to see that. And we're seeing the same kids come back. They look forward to our camps every year. They look forward to the van full of the gringos. And it's just, you can see that they're all good-spirited. And their hearts are really open to what we're there to share. And they know why we're there. They know that it's not just about sports. And it's not just about getting a lunch and hanging out for a while. They're really excited to hear the stories that we have to share. And so, as Brian said earlier this week, kind of made me feel like an astronaut for a moment when he said that this was one of the most difficult re-entries after a mission trip. And I totally agree, because it was extremely powerful. There were many unexpected events that happened that we were blessed to be a part of. And that's something that you can't plan, you know, but just being open and available to what God has for you. I mean, he will blow your mind with what you're capable of. And so I just really would like to encourage all of you. Something that came to me several times throughout the week, and I sat on it a number of times and didn't share. And then finally at the end got up the courage to speak. You know, no matter what season you're in, be it something small, something big, it doesn't matter how bad it's raining down and how desperate you might feel with what you're walking through, he can still used you mm-hmm. in that moment. And if you ask him to empower you to love more, to love bigger, and to show that, and then if you simply just yield to his will, even if you don't understand what that is, just stop and wait. And then the next step is to obey his word. I mean, it's really just as simple as that. And once you do those things, you know, pray that wherever you go, be it here, at work, at school, or on a mission trip, just pray that those in the world and the people that you come in contact with will know how much you love Jesus, because at the end of the day, that's why we go, and that's what it's all about. And so for me, that was a big aha moment. The blessings that come as a translator are tenfold. I mean, that's a whole another blessing just there that's special that I get to experience and others get to experience as well on the trip. But for me, knowing that despite whatever I'm walking through or what you're walking through, he can pick you up and take you out of that and use you in big, big ways.
Amen. Thank you, Jessica. Can you put that back down? Well, Miguel and Adiel Vasquez and their two sweet girls also went on the trip, and they stepped up and led all of VBS like a champion. I mean, I was just so proud of them. And their girls, wow. In some of the pictures you saw here, their whole family got baptized in the river at Costa Rica. That was a real honor to do that. Something I won't forget ever. And Jessica and Katie really related well to the girls. And but I'll say this, there's so many stories, but like Katie said, they're filled with joy because you literally turned around and the Holy Spirit was active and moving. So the stories, let me just share a couple with you because they're so powerfully real and tangible. So the TV station guy, the one in the red shirt, if you saw that picture, after the interview and us talking, and he let me pray on TV in Jesus' name, he comes to basketball camp the next day, and then he shows up at the devotional. He's like listening, comes back again the next day, and he's listening. All I know is that night we go eat, and he shows up for dinner, and the translator goes, Pastor Brian, and he comes over, and he wants to know Jesus. I'm like, what? And so I go, do you know Jesus? And he said, well, I know him, but I don't know him personally. I go, would you like to? And he goes, mm-hmm. So we go sit down. I share the gospel. 15 minutes later, he steps into the kingdom and into life. I mean, how good is that? Okay. The neighborhood things that we did where we went out with the translator and teams into the neighborhoods, that was powerful. The neighborhood we were in was probably one of the darkest neighborhoods in the city. And the light of VBS was shining brightly, Jesus in us as we went door to door. All I know, here's my personal experience. I went with a team, and we go to this one door, this young man, and all the windows have bars. So you're talking through the bars, and a young man kind of all tatted up and comes, and he's a little standoffish at first. And a couple of questions through the interpreter, and I just asked him, I didn't do this at every house, but I just asked him straight up, hey, if something happened and you died, do you know where you're going? And he goes, and just all through interpreter, he said, no, but I really want to know. Do you know? I said, oh, I know. Do they know? The couple people that were with me, and they go, oh, yeah, they all know. He goes, I want to know. I said, well, I'd be happy to show you. Can I show you? He goes, yeah. Invites me into his home. We sit down, share the gospel. I could go through a lot. His name's Vinicio. Vinicio said, I've been out of jail, and I've been asking for God. I don't know where he is. I've been looking for him, and I can't find him. I said, Vinicio, God loves you so much. He came to you, to your doorstep through us right now. That's how much he loves you. Vinicio prays and accepts Christ, and I said, Vinicio, how do you feel? He goes, something happened. Like, I feel like I got adrenaline all up in me. And he was like, and I go, That's the peace of God. And we leave, and all I know is there's a guy in the neighborhood that goes, do you know who that guy was? I mean, no, Vinicio, my new brother in Christ. They go, no, that was one of the biggest drug dealers in this neighborhood. And I was in his living room. That's what I'm talking about. Like, God is so good. That was all the Holy Spirit. Didn't have to do anything. It like teed it up. And it was just right there. But we went. We said yes. We were like listening and responding, and we offered love and hope. It was just amazing to see that happen again and again and again. The couple we talked about getting married, I knew this couple for 4 days, and she said, oh, would you marry us? We want to get right with God and do this thing in God's sight right. And I said, okay, that's great. So we sit down to talk about marriage in God's eyes, and I'm hearing them say, this will make us right with God. And so I said, what do you think makes you right with God? Well, that led to a whole nother conversation. So we put marriage on the side. We explain what makes you right with God through the person and work of Jesus Christ. And they both pray and trust in Christ. I mean, it's blowing my mind. I'm just asking questions. And Miguel is translating. And Miguel's looking at me. And we're like crying and not knowing what to say. Because God's just doing it right in front of our eyes. And then after they both pray and trust Christ, they had so much pain in their background and so much hurt. And she's crying and sharing. And he says, I think I need to forgive my dad. Because his dad had cut him off because of this relationship. Just disowned him. If that's not the power of God at work. So we did some mini freedom prayer. And we went to the Father, and we wiped out that debt of unforgiveness, and he is sobbing, and I don't know how long it had been since he'd cried, but I'm guessing a while. And we're both crying, and then we had a wedding the next day. You know, it was great. It was beautiful. Just the entire week was filled with those kinds of things. I still have a picture of Miguel and Willie praying over a guy in the park. The partnership with the local churches is starting to, there's a movement happening there, and it's just encouraging in my spirit. I hope it's encouraging you. God is at work all over the world. And it's through what the Holy Spirit is doing through people, just everyday people. And it was just exciting to be a part of. But what I wanted to share with you this morning, if you have your Bibles, turn to John chapter 14. Because I feel like these words is what he gave me when I was able to. So the pastor at the Methodist church there said, hey, you're up, you're preaching tomorrow. Tomorrow? It was like 10 o'clock at night. I was, tomorrow? He said, yeah, tomorrow. So this is what he gave me that day, and I feel like it's for us and for you. So in John chapter 14, Jesus is talking to his disciples, and it's basically the person of Jesus, like who he is, the person of God, and then what he's doing. And for you and I, that's important. Verse 8, John 14, verse 8. Philip said, hey, show us the Father. That'll be enough. I don't know if you ever felt that way. God, show yourself. I got to see you. Verse 9, Jesus said, don't you know me? Philip, don't you know me? I mean, I've been with you this whole time. If you've seen the Father, how can you say, show us the Father? Don't you know me? And you know, there's a different knowing about and knowing. That's the difference of experiencing God for who he really is, because you know him. And that's what Jesus is saying here. And then in verse 10, he says, don't you believe? Where's your faith? Don't you know? Don't you believe? I am in the Father. The Father's in me. Now, I cheated a little bit and gave you those two key words in red, because the words that Jesus says and the work that he does, you can't separate those. Who a person is and what they do, you know, it comes out. And I think Jesus is telling us something real important here. He's like, you've seen the Father, you've seen me, because the Father's in me. We're the same. You want to know what my words are? That's my Father's words. You want to know what I'm doing, my work that's coming out of me? That's what my Father's doing. The words reflect who he is. And the work is what he does. Then on verse 12, he says, Jesus says, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I've been doing and even greater works. Now don't miss this one. The activity of God, the works of God, really all of that he's saying, I've been doing them, and now you're going to do even greater. And what are those works? Healing the sick, redeeming people, reconciling people to the Father, bringing hope, bringing light, bringing love, destroying the works of the devil, solidifying and strengthening the church, seeking and saving the lost. All those things we were tangibly experiencing in Costa Rica. And yet, somehow, the spiritual activity of God, we get so focused on our own kingdom, our own agenda, and yet he's still always at work. And then he's setting that up, don't miss, because I'm going to the Father, you're going to do greater works. How are you going to do greater works? Because Jesus is leaving, and he's setting up, verse 16, I will ask the Father, and he'll give you another advocate to help you with now and forever. Who is he? The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him, because it doesn't see him and it doesn't know him. The world can't see, the world won't know, and the world won't believe, because the world is still focused on self, but you will. You know him, because he's in you. He's going to be in you. The Holy Spirit, that's how the greater works are going to be done, because the person and the work of the Holy Spirit is who God is. So he's saying, and this wraps up in verse 20, on that day you'll realize, Jesus said, I'm in the Father, you're in me, and I'm in you. That's the Trinity. That's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And really what came to light was the actual who God is. And there's 3 points. Do you have that back on the from the first part of the slide, if you're working the slides? Yep. If you're a list taker and you just want to write them down so you remember, here they are. The whole thing about Costa Rica and the whole thing this morning is, here it is. Number one, God the Father is always at work. Like, he's always at work. You don't have to wonder, like, he's always at work. He always has been, he always is, he always will be. He's been in history in the world. He's in right now working in your present, inside of you and through you, and he always will be forever, because God is sovereign. Number two, God the Son always offers a close relationship of love with us, because of his great love. He demonstrated that love in Jesus. And because of the work of the cross and the relationship we have with Jesus, everything flows out of that relationship, so much so that he said, the Father and me are one. So the relational closeness of us with Jesus, just like Jesus with his Father, is out of which number three happens, where God includes us through the person and work of the Holy Spirit. Because he's in us. That takes us to John chapter 5. This will be the last passage we look at. Look at John chapter 5, verse 17. Jesus said, my Father is always at work, even to this very day, and I too am working. God's always at work. Amen? God's always at work. You don't have to wonder. You don't have to make something up. You don't have to work hard for God and ask him to bless you. God's already doing stuff. We went to Costa Rica. He's all over it. All we had to do was walk into it and join him where he's already working. So in your home, in your neighborhood, in your job, in your relationship, he's already working. Where is he working? And just go join him there. That should free us up. That should excite us. That's where the joy is, because you go, he's working, I want to be there. Ask anybody that just went to Costa Rica, are they going back? Uh-huh. Why? Because God's working. I'm going to go. He's at work in the world. He's at work in us, and he's at work through us. And I'll say this. God always does a deeper work in you before he does something through you. But it includes both. He wants his words to come in and saturate you. That's why Scripture is so powerful. But he needs the Holy Spirit to make that come alive and then translate into his work, his deeper work, to make us more like him, to free us from those things that hinder us from knowing him more deeply and being a part of what he's doing. And he wants to work in you. And he also wants to work through you in his work, because he's doing something. He's reconciling people. Verse 19, Jesus said, the Son of God, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only see what his Father is doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son does. How could Jesus see what the Father was doing? Because of the closeness and the union that he had with him. You know? The closer you are to someone, the more you can hear them. Like if Willie were standing next to me and I began to whisper to Willie, only Willie could hear me. The closer you are to someone, the more you hear them. The more you know them, the more you see what they're doing. And out of that closeness, he says, why? How does that work? Verse 20. The Father loves the Son, and he shows him all he does. He loves him. He wants to show him all that he does. And he'll show him even greater works than these, just like he said in John 14. So you'll be amazed. Y'all, we were amazed in Costa Rica. I don't know how else to say it. But it's not just in Costa Rica. God's always at work. And how will we know what he's doing? If we said we know what he's doing and we're going to join him, how are we going to see it? How are we going to know it? Well, this is the exact principle. It's in this closeness. Number two, everything in our spiritual lives flows out of a close personal relationship with Jesus. Everything. If you're not seeing God work in your life in one sense, then press in and get into that depth of close relationship with God because he wants to. It's his heart. Why? Because he loves you. He loves the Son. He wants to work in you and through you. But everything, our understanding of who he is, his love, it all flows out of that close relationship. In verse 20 as well, in the Message version, it says this, the Father loves the Son and includes him in everything he's doing. The Father loves his kids and includes him in everything he's doing. That's number three. God wants to include you through the person and work of the Holy Spirit. Greater works, because he left, because now the Holy Spirit's come, because now the Holy Spirit's in us, and now the Holy Spirit fills our hearts with love that wants to go out, because that's what he wants to do. And when we hear those words of who he is, and they get in our heart, then the work that goes outward that he wants to do is what happens. And again, those are those same works that Jesus is doing. It's like, I gotta show you love. I gotta forgive you. I gotta help you. I gotta serve you. I gotta love you. I gotta bring light into the darkness. I gotta bring hope to the hopeless. I step out in to do the work, but I don't do it. The Holy Spirit does all of that work. I just hear that and then say yes and obey. And there is a level of obedience, like Jessica spoke of, but there's also a level of joy, like Katie spoke of, that happens because you know you're doing just what God's told you to do. He's called you to do this, and he said, this is what you're to do. So there's joy in that. And that, for me personally, this trip marked a lot of joy. Like, it was tiring, don't get me wrong. My older body just felt it at times. But it was so full of joy because God was so at work. And that came out of that closeness that I knew Jesus was doing in me. And then just the honor and the amazing privilege to be a part of what he was doing. And people's lives were being changed forever. Because y'all, sweet friend's funeral yesterday reminded me, the word legacy was used about 20 times. The only legacy that matters is who's in heaven. And what is your life represented that's of eternal value? That's equated to people. Because that's Jesus' heart. It's why he died. And I can't help but think right now what Jesus is telling us, what he's saying to us, what he's communicating through who he is, his very person, Father, Son, Spirit, is the fact that he loves people so much that he wants them to know that great love, and he goes to great lengths, just like Vinicio, to bring himself to his doorstep and say, I don't care you've been in prison, I don't care what you've done in the past, I love you. and I've given everything for you. Will you receive my love? Will you say yes to my forgiveness? I want you to walk in the strength and peace I offer. And then I want you to share that. It's too good not to share. It's the good news. It's the gospel. It's the hope of the world. I invite Brian and the guys to come back up. Put those three things back up. Let's do this just for a moment. I want to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you in a way that will be personal for you. So if you'll do this, just kind of create some space where you are. Kind of bow your head, close your eyes. I don't know what you've heard so far or what's stirring inside of you, but I want to allow just a moment for God to communicate with you as you reflect. Maybe you have doubts that God is in control. Maybe you have doubts that God's at work. You just need to hear the Father assure you in that place of worry or angst or fear of the future. You just need to hear his voice affirm he's in control. Just ask him if you can trust him in that. Maybe you don't feel the closeness of your relationship with Jesus right now. I don't know if something's in the way or you're holding on to something that's not of him or he just feels distant right now. Would you just ask him if there's something in the way to remove it or show you? And just ask him to draw near to you and tell him in your heart you want to be near him. Experience him deep in you. Maybe something stirred in you about wanting to be included in the expansion of God's kingdom. People coming to spiritual life and going out in obedience on mission. Ask him if you can be included. Not feeling included, revert back to number two. Ask him for that closeness so that you can see and hear what he's doing. Everything flows out of that closeness. There's no shortcut, but he generously wants to involve us. He generously wants to include us. Father, I just pray over my brothers and sisters in Christ, God, Would you pour out your spirit in a way that we know it's you? Would we be hungry and ready to receive more of you so that we can be involved in doing even greater works? Let us be a part, God. I pray that you, each person here, would hear your affirming voice. You don't speak in condemnation. You might speak in conviction as your spirit convicts us of something so that we might make it right. But that's how much you love us, because you don't want to leave anything inside of us that's not of you. You just say, it's time for that to go, because I want to fill you up and give you more. More of the best. More of me. You're the gift, Holy Spirit. Father, I just pray that we would receive what it is that you have to plant inside of us. And then give us the courage to respond. Give us the courage to step out, to demonstrate love like you did, Jesus. It's all about you. It's all about your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I was running, just reminded, yesterday or day before, and I was running, and it felt hard, and I was struggling. I was thinking, man, I'm out of shape. But I was running into the wind, and I turned the corner, and it just took off, because I was running with the wind. And it was just like the Lord just said, that's how I want you to run, with me. Don't try to run against me. Just turn and run my way. And I don't know where you're at it again today. I hope your spirit was encouraged and strengthened and built up. It's always a joy to go to other countries and see God at work, then to see other brothers and sisters in Christ. We worship together with the Costa Rican Brian McCleary and a whole bunch of sweet brothers and sisters in Christ. And we were worshiping in Spanish. And I had no idea what I'd say, they were saying. Except every once in a while, Dios or Espiritu Santo. It didn't matter. And I told the pastor there, we speak the same language, brother. You speak Spanish, I speak English, but we speak the same language as Jesus. It was just a joy to be in God's will and in his, with the wind in him. So I'm going to invite Sean Sullivan to come on up.